I think it was Habakkuk 2:15. Let me grab my pen here. All right, so we got into Habakkuk 2:15, and woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink. We went through that thing last time. I showed you how in the Old Testament there's a couple characters that you should be familiar with that they put something in their mouth, and it was connected with nakedness. Who are those two figures? You got Adam, and you've got Noah. All right, and so those two, so they've put something in their mouth, and it shows that nakedness is connected with that wine or that vine tree. Okay, I don't want to spend too much time on this thing, though, because I think we beat that thing to death. But we're going to continue on here, all right? Not that I'm trying to overlook that, but let's go with verse 16. He said, "Thou art filled with shame for glory. Drink thou also, and thy foreskin be uncovered. The cup of the Lord's right hand shall be turned unto thee, and shameful spewing shall be on thy glory." All right, so thou art filled with shame for glory, and that drink thou also, and let thy foreskin be uncovered. Now, what the foreskin he's talking about, let's go back over here to Deuteronomy. Let's look over here in Deuteronomy chapter 10. Now, he's talking to the children of Israel here. This is Moses talking about loving the Lord thy God up in verse 12, Deuteronomy 10:12. He says, verse 16, look at Deuteronomy 10:16. He says, "Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. For the Lord your God is God of is God of gods and Lord of lords, great and mighty and a terrible, with regardeth not persons nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widows, a widow, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment." All right, so we've got this foreskin of the heart. Now, what uncovers the foreskin of the heart? The Word of God, right? It's quick and powerful, sharpening a two-edged sword. You know that in Hebrews 4:12. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Let's turn to it. Hebrews chapter 4. So the Lord knows your thoughts. He knows everything that comes into your mind, as he says in Ezekiel 11, verse 5. So we know the Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Look at verse 13. Hebrews 4, 13. "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened under the eyes of him with whom we have to do." So the Word of God obviously is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, and it reads you. All right, and everything's naked and open before the Lord. So the foreskin of their heart is going to be opened up. All right, the Lord sees everything that's going on in that wicked heart of theirs, and he sees everything going on in the wicked heart of yours. All right, and so without that chastening of the Lord and thank God for it, man would do, he does that which is right in his own eyes, right? That's just human nature. So we have here, notice that back in Habakkuk 2:16, "Thou art filled with shame for glory. Drink thou also, and let thy foreskin be uncovered." Remember what Stephen preached to those in Acts chapter 7? "Ye circumcised, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost." Okay, that's human nature. Okay, they are uncircumcised in the heart. Look at, he says, "The cup of the Lord's right hand shall be turned unto thee, and shameful spewing shall be on thy glory." So the cup of the Lord's right hand. All right, let's go over here to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 25. Let's look at Jeremiah 25, verse 15. "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel unto me, take the wine of the cup of his fury at my right hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it." So what is that cup? What is that thing? Anybody know what that thing represents? What is that thing? It's his wrath, right? Look at Revelation 14. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 10. "The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture under the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb." Now, who took this cup? The Lord Jesus Christ took that cup, right? Let's go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 26. So that cup that the Lord Jesus Christ took is going to be poured out upon all nations. the ones who reject the Lord. Look at Matthew 26, verse 38. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Now, which death is he talking about? He's talking about that second death. Okay? He endured the cross, despising the shame, for the joy set before him, right? Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Now, was it possible? No, because it's not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Remember, we've talked about that, Hebrews 10:4. So it's if it be possible, it's not possible. All right, so that cup that the Lord Jesus Christ took was that cup of God the Father's wrath. And that's going to be poured upon the nation. So that's what he's talking about in Habakkuk 2:16. All right, so we'll go back there. Thou art filled with shame for glory. Drink thou also and let thy foreskin be uncovered. The cup of the Lord's right hand shall be turned unto thee, and shameful spewing shall be on thy glory. So they're going to vomit it up. Look at this. For the violence of Lebanon shall cover thee, and the spoil of beasts which made them afraid, because of men's blood, and for the violence of the land of the city, and all that dwell therein. So he's comparing that to what took place in Lebanon, the destruction that took place in Lebanon. You'll find that over in Zechariah. We can turn there quickly. Zechariah 11. Zechariah 11, verse 1 through 3. So he's saying what happened up there is going to happen down here. Open thy doors, O Lebanon, that the fire may devour thy cedars. How fir trees, for the cedar is fallen, because the mighty are spoiled. How, O ye oaks of Bashan, for the forest of the vintage is come down. There is a voice of howling of the shepherds, for their glory is spoiled. The voice of the roaring of the young lions, for the pride of Jordan is spoiled. All right, we're going to get into that roaring of the young lions here in a moment, but let's just think about this in modern context. Anybody see what's going on in Israel? Okay. Lebanon up in the north. You got Gaza or Gaza down there in the Gaza Strip. Okay, I was there in 2006 when Hezbollah and Israel were going at it back then. Okay, and so those rockets were coming across and they were fighting. Okay, you see those things constantly. All right, so every time that somebody touches the apple of his eye, there's going to be a recompense reward. So you see those things in modern context. So those things were going on back then. They're still going on today. See, there's no new thing under the sun. Okay? And so that's why when you look at the scripture like this, you say, well, that's historical. Yeah, but it's going to happen again. As a matter of fact, it's happening right in front of your face. See, so that's what separates this book from any other book in the world. Because this thing is 100% accurate. When it comes to prophecy, it's all going to come to pass. That doesn't mean we're going to understand every little thing in this. There are some details that are obviously going to be left out as far as your understanding, because it's not for you doctrinally. Okay, when that Jew gets in the Daniel 70th week, a lot of this stuff's going to come out right before his eyes, and he's going to see it with a clear picture, and he's going to understand because he can. Oh, that's it. I see it. That verse makes sense to me now. See, now we have the advantage. Number one, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, so you can discern. Okay, spiritual things. We have a completed Bible, so we can go ahead and we see the end of the book. We know the end from the beginning. All right, but these folks here, you got to look at it from a Jew's perspective. You're trying to read this, going, "What's he talking about?" Right? Because they don't have the New Testament. They don't have the revelation that God has given to us. All right, so these things are kind of a mystery to them. All right. But notice he says, "Because of men's blood and for violence of the land and the city and all that dwell therein." Now, I'm probably going to get into it next week. We're going to talk about the two different routes of the second advent today, Lord willing, if we can get there. Okay, next week we'll probably get into the northern campaign. Okay, there's two different routes that you'll see in the scripture, but everything you'll see over there, and we'll go to Amos, but every time that you'll see those transgressions that are against the transgressions that those cities or those countries commit is against God's people. And there's going to be a recompense because of those transgressions, okay? So God's going to come back and he's going to punish those nations, all right? So he says, for the violence of the land of the city and all that dwell therein, all right, what profiteth the graven image that the maker thereof hath graven it, the molten image and the teacher of lies that maketh, the maker of his work trusteth therein to make dumb idols. Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake, to the dumb stone, arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in the midst of it. Now, what's he talking about here? Obviously, idol worship. All right, and so there's some things taking place here. You got some idol worship, and you're going to see that again show up over there in the tribulation. But let's go back here to Deuteronomy again. Try to tie some things in here. Look at Deuteronomy 29. We've talked about this here. This is the Deuteronomy 28, 27, 28, and 29. You'll have the addendum to the Mosaic Covenant, which is the Palestinian Covenant. If they keep the law, they're going to stay in the land. If they did not, they were kicked out. Now look at, we'll start up in verse 16. For ye know how we have dwelt in the land of Egypt, and how we came through the nations which ye passed by, and ye have seen their abominations, and their idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among them. Lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God, and to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. You'll see that show up in Revelation. And it came to pass when he heareth the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of mine heart, to add drunkenness to thirst. Now, let's stop there. Turn over to Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24. Let's look at the faithful and the wise servant and then the wicked servant. Look at Matthew 24, 45. He's talking about the return of the Son of Man, verse 44. The Son of Man cometh. That's the second advent of Jesus Christ. He says, who then is a faithful and a wise servant, whom his Lord hath made him ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, notice this, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. All right, so let's go back to Deuteronomy 29. You got somebody who says, the Lord's delayed his coming, he's not coming back. He begins to eat and drink with the drunken. Now go back to Deuteronomy 29. Look at verse 20. It says, the Lord will not spare him, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him. Notice this, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. Now, can that be you? No, it cannot be, right? Now go to Revelation chapter 3. Go to Revelation chapter 3. Look at verse 5. We'll look at verse 4. Thou hast a few names in Sardis which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. All right, so you got somebody here that can have their name blotted out of heaven and out of that book of life. And why? Idol worship. You remember? The Antichrist is going to set up an image. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be some that worship that image. And they're going to receive a mark in their hands, in their right hand, or in their foreheads. And those that do, they're going to get cast in a lake of fire. That's not you and me. We're sealed until the day of redemption. You see the difference, though? You see how that thing back there in Deuteronomy comes into play in the tribulation? So when you see verses like that, and somebody's, that's where, I keep saying this, but it's where people get the idea you can lose your salvation. No, you cannot. That's not talking about you doctrinally. That's talking about those Jews in that tribulation. Or the Gentile if they take the mark. Okay? So you can see that over there, and because it's that, look at Revelation chapter 9, you'll see the same kind of wording. Revelation chapter 9. Talking about these locusts and things that come up out of the bottomless pit. Look at verse 20. Revelation chapter 9, verse 20. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. They had pleasure in unrighteousness. So that's what's going to be taking place. They're going to fall down. Anybody notice? It's interesting. You pay attention to the news, and you've had this pope die, and then you've got this new pope that shows up. It's amazing to me. It shouldn't be, because I believe the book. But when you see it right before your eyes, you start going, well, here you go. I've seen more flags at half-mast in this country over that. Was he an American? No, he wasn't an American. But you see how the whole world is bowing down to that? That's what's going to take place in the tribulation. So you see that religion of the Antichrist, you see that great whore that's right there. See, the Pope is the pimp, and she's the whore. And that Pope pimps that whore out to different nations. And everybody's coming to Rome and all this kind of stuff, and this is great for Christianity. I'm telling you, folks, these folks are blinded. And that's not to pick on Catholics, but listen, get in the book. Okay, let's take this for instance. Let's look at Judges chapter 17. I'll show you where the Catholic priesthood comes from. Go back to Judges 17. I won't take too much time here because I want to get to this stuff here. But you're going to notice something here in Judges chapter 17. You're going to see some Baal worship taking place. Okay, look at Judges 17, and this might be new to you if you've never read the book of Judges. Now, this account that takes place in Judges chapter 17 is actually taking place in the time of Joshua. What you're reading in Judges 17 is kind of it goes back, and it kind of tells the story even when Joshua is still alive. Look at Judges 17, and there was a man of Mount Ephraim, whose name was Micah. And he said unto his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursest, and spake as of also in mine ears, behold, the silver is with me, I took it. And his mother said, blessed be thou the Lord, my son. See how religious she sounds? And when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son to make a graven image and a molten image. Now therefore I will restore it unto thee. Yet he restored the money unto his mother, and his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the founder, who made thereof a graven image and a molten image, and they were in the house of Micah. And the man Micah had a house of gods, and made an ephod and a teraphim, and consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. All right, so he's the one consecrating the younger man, one of his sons, and he makes that son his priest. All right, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And there was a young man out of Bethlehem, Judah, of the family of Judah, who was a Levite, and he sojourned there. And the man departed out of the city of Bethlehem, Judah, to sojourn where he could find a place. And he came to Mount Ephraim, to the house of Micah, as he journeyed. And Micah said unto him, whence comest thou? And he said unto him, I am a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah, and I go to sojourn there where I may find a place. Look, he's looking for the place. He's not going with the will of God. He's trying to find him a place. All right? He's self-willed. And Micah said unto him, dwell with me and be unto me, watch this, a father and a priest. And I will give thee 10 shekels of silver by a year, they pay him, and a suit of apparel, take care of his clothes, and thy victuals, his food. So the Levite went in. That's the Roman Catholic priesthood. It doesn't start. You see how far back that thing starts? Keep reading, and the Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man was unto him as one of his sons. And Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest and was in the house of Micah. Then said Micah, now know I that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest. So that thing's taking place back there in 1406 BC. That Roman Catholic priesthood starts way back over there. They're Baal worshipers. Amen. Now that flies in the face of a lot of people. That might offend some people, but you need to know the history. Okay, and the root of that thing goes all the way back to Babylon. Okay, we're going to skip Judges 18 because you get into the Danites and how they bring that man in, okay? So that idolatry starts up there in the north with Dan. All right, so let's go back over here. But you see that idolatry, it's rampant today. All right, people are falling down and worshiping idols and images, okay? And that's sad because you've got a book right here that tells you against that. All right? Amen? So, all right, go back to Habakkuk chapter 2. Look at verse 20. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. All right, so we're going to get into the study here. The Lord rises up. All right, so we just read Habakkuk 2:20. All right, there's some key things I want you to see. Let's go over here. So the Lord's in his holy habitation. He's up in the third heaven. Look at Zechariah 2. Look at Zechariah 2, verse 13. It says, "Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he has raised up out of his holy habitation." It says, "Be silent, O earth." Now go to Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8. Verse 1. Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. When he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. All right, so you're moving from the seven seals to the seven trumpets and then the seven vials. Okay? This is right before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what he's talking about over here in Habakkuk is the Lord, he's rising up. The whole earth is silent before him because he's about to return. Okay? Look at Jeremiah 25. Jeremiah chapter 25. Now, a lot of the reason I do this, I run you through so many references, and we're obviously in the Old Testament a lot. We're bouncing back and forth. I'm hoping that this gets some of you to really get motivated to get in your Old Testament, okay? Because you're going to see some things here, and you should know if you've read your Bible where these things fit. Okay, look at Jeremiah 25:29. Where he talked about the wine cup of his fury in 15, verse 15, but look at verse 29. "For lo, I begin to bring evil on the city, which is called by my name, and should ye be utterly unpunished? Ye shall not be unpunished, for I will call for a sword upon all the inhabitants of the earth, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore prophesy against them all these words, and say unto them, The Lord shall roar from on high, and utter his voice from his holy habitation." There's his holy habitation. "He shall mightily roar upon his habitation. He shall give a shout as they that tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth." All right, so the Lord's going to roar from on high. Where's the on high? Let's go to Psalms. Go to Psalm 48. Psalm 48. Look at verse 1. Psalm 48 and verse 1. "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, on the sides of the north, the city of the great king." Now you've got an earthly Jerusalem, okay, which obviously the Lord's going to return to, but you have another that's in heaven, which is the new Jerusalem. So everything you have down here is a type of something above, right? Just like you had the tabernacle that Moses was told to make, it was a pattern of the true tabernacle, which is in heaven. All right, so that you see that wording, sides of the north? Where else does that phrase show up? Isaiah. It's the only other place it shows up, so it gives you the definition. Look at Isaiah 14. Look at Isaiah 14:12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, notice this, in the sides of the north. Okay? So that right there, what he's talking about, God's in his holy habitation, all right? He's up there in the true Mount Zion, and he's going to roar. And when he returns, okay, and there's a reason he's roaring. Look at Look at Revelation chapter 10. You'll see the same wording. Revelation chapter 10. I got to read verse 1 all the way down. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was it as were the sun, and his feet were as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right hand upon the foot, or his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot upon the earth. And he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. All right, and so look at verse 6. And swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the light and the things that are therein, and the earth and the things that are therein, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. All right, so the Lord is going to roar. That lion's going to roar from Zion. Okay? He's gonna roar up there, and let's go to Amos 3:4. Let's look at the reason he's roaring first. Look at Amos. Joel, Amos, Obadiah. Look at Amos 3:4. Well, first go back to 1:2. You're gonna see the same thing. Look at Amos 1:2. And he said, the Lord will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. Now, we just pinpointed which Jerusalem he's talking about. There's a type down here, but the heavenly Jerusalem, which is above. He's going to come from the north. All right, look at Amos 3:4. This is the reason that a lion's going to roar. Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his dens if he have taken nothing? So the reason a lion roars is because he's got a prey, right? He's got something he's killed. All right, let's go to Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 8. Zephaniah 3:8, therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day, notice this, that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, which is that cup, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. Are we painting a picture here? All right. You'll see the same thing as you saw in Amos 1:2 and Joel 3:16. Okay, talking about the Lord roaring from Zion. The reason he roars is because he's got a prey. He's going to rise up to the prey. Zephaniah 3:8, and let's go to Isaiah 60, verse 1. Isaiah 60 and verse 1. Look at it says in Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and thy glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon them, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings of the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see, and they gather themselves together. They come to thee, thy son shall come from far, and thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. Who's this talking about? The Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the arise, the shine, he's the Son of Righteousness. He's going to return with healing in his wings. Okay? All right, so that's a long way around to get into this here. I think we've only got about 10 minutes left. I'll get into this a little bit today, and then next week we'll spend more time in it. Okay? So we already talked about the Lord rising up out of his temple. He's going to come back. And he's going to come to some certain places, all right, here on the earth. All right, so we got our North Sea and Arrow. Got to have that. All right, so down here is the Sinai Peninsula. See, this is Mount Sinai. Okay, right here is the Red Sea. All right. You've got Mount Paran, Mount Seir. You've got Petra or Selah Petra right here. This is all Edom. Ammon's up here. Okay, this is Selah Petra. You've got Bozer, which you've talked about before. This right here in the red, that's the King's Highway that you read about in the book of Numbers. Now, I can't
I couldn't draw all of it, but the children of Israel, the Lord's going to come back, and he's going to come up here, and he's going to cross over that Jordan River, and he's going to come over here to the Mount of Olives, and then he's going to come to Jerusalem. Okay? So that's a broad overview of what's going to take place. Now, this is what we call the Southern Campaign. If you'll ever study the book of Joshua, you'll notice that in Joshua, which is a type of Jesus Christ's return, what's Joshua mean? Jehovah saves, right? Same as Jesus in the New Testament. Okay? So you'll see in Joshua that there's a northern campaign and there's a southern campaign. Now, which one of those the Lord comes back to first, we don't know. Okay? Nobody knows that. But there's some things that might glean one way or the other. But really, that's of no consequence. What I want you to look at is look over here. Look in Habakkuk, first of all. Look at Habakkuk 3:1. It says, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet upon Shigionoth. Now that's a musical note or a rest. Okay. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens and the earth was full of his praise. Now, anytime that you see, whether it's a prayer of David or a prayer of Habakkuk or a song of Deborah, for instance, or a song of Moses, anytime you see that in your Bible, it should key you into prophecy. Because what the Lord's going to be using that prophet to say is something that's going to have a future context. Because what you'll read about here is none of these things have taken place yet. Not literally fulfilled. Okay, now I want you to see, look at verse 2. Revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. Now, there's reason to believe he's talking about the middle of the tribulation. In the midst of that tribulation, when the Lord reveals himself to that Jew, he's going to revive that people. Does it make sense? All right. But I want you to look at Deuteronomy 33. Deuteronomy 33, verse 2. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. Now, that prophecy about 10,000s of his saints, who prophesied that? Well, Enoch did, and you'll find that in the book of Jude. Look at Jude. Look at Jude. Jude 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. All right, you'll see the thing over in Daniel as well. Daniel 7:10, as a matter of fact. All right, so obviously this is talking about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's going to have some people with him. That would be you and me if you're saved. Okay, so he's going to come down, and where he's going to come down to, he's going to come to Sinai first. Then he comes up over here to Paran and Seir. All right, and then he's going to come up here, like I said, up the King's Highway. All right, and he's going to, just like the Ark in the Old Testament, all right, every place that that thing went, you're going to see that thing, you're going to see the type of it. The ark is the presence of God in the Old Testament. The Lord Jesus Christ, the true ark, shows up. He's going to land here at Mount Sinai. Now, why would he land there? Where'd he give the law at? Right? Go back to Exodus chapter 19. Notice a fiery law goes out before him. Our God is a consuming fire. Look at Exodus 19:9. You see a great type of it here. And the Lord said unto Moses, I come unto thee in a thick cloud. Notice that cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes.
Notice this, and be ready against the third day. For the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. All right, so the third day. So if we've got, if you're looking at human creation, you got 4,000 years, all right, before the Lord shows up. The Lord shows up on that fourth day. 3,000 would be 7,000, or the seventh day, as he talks about in Hebrews, that millennial rest. He said, be ready against the third day. So at the beginning of that third day, okay, in the morning, the Lord's going to return, just like on the Mount of Transfiguration, and after 6 days, all right, and it says over in Luke, I think, in about 8 days, which is seven. Be ready against the third day. Why? Because the Lord's going to come down in the sight of all the people at Mount Sinai. Look at Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. The Lord doesn't write anything without a purpose. He doesn't say anything without a purpose. Look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Notice again, behold, he cometh with clouds. Where did Jesus read that? You read that in Exodus, right? And every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him and killed, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, even so, amen, because of the wrath of the Lamb. Every eye is going to see him. Just like he said, I'm going to come down to the side of all the people on Mount Sinai. All right, so we see the first place. Let's go to Judges chapter 5. Judges chapter 5. This is the song of Deborah. She's the prophetess. Look at Judges 5:5. The mountains melted from before the Lord, even that Sinai from before the Lord God of Israel. Now you have to ask yourself, did that take place yet? Did Sinai melt? No, but it will. All right, so we got Sinai mentioned there. Go to Judges 5:19. The kings came and fought, then fought the kings of Canaan and Taanach by the waters of where? Megiddo. They took no gain for money. Where's Megiddo? Armageddon. Right? That's the hill of the crowded. All right? So look at this down here in verse 24. Blessed above women shall Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite, be. Blessed shall be above women in the tent. He asked water, and she gave him milk. She brought forth butter in a lordly dish. Now, who's that Jael? She's the wife of Heber. She's a Kenite. What does that make her? Anybody know? Is she a Jew or a Gentile? The Kenites, all right, are over there akin to the Midianites. She's a Gentile, okay? Notice, and she's the one who smites Sisera in the head with a spike, nails his head to the ground. She's a nice lady. All right, look at now. Notice it says, he asked water and she gave him milk. She brought forth butter in a lordly dish. Now look at Matthew 25. Look at Matthew 25, verse 35. Here's that tribulation saint hidden right back here in the book of Judges that's going to be helping that Jew out. For I was an hunger and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked you clothed me. I was sick. You visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when we saw thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of my brethren, ye have done it unto me. You see that there in Judges? That's what I'm telling you about. Any of those songs or prayers, those things are prophetic. Okay, and the Lord will reveal some things to you if you believe his book. So what you see there is you see that type of the Gentile in the tribulation helping the Jew out. Amen? All right, so let's go back to... it's 10:40. I guess we're going to have to stop there. We got a lot more to get into next week, don't worry. We'll take probably a couple weeks on all this here. But I want you to see, like I said, that scheme maneuver, if you will, that broad overview, that southern campaign. He's going to come up to Megiddo. Okay, we'll go into that next week as well if we have time. But one of the places he definitely comes to is Mount Sinai. All right, so you got a southern, you got a northern campaign. What he's doing is he's mopping up.
that fiery law that's going out before him, he's mopping up all these nations that came against Israel. And finally he's going to end up there and he's going to step on them at Armageddon or Megiddo, and he's going to, like a wine press. Amen? Okay. Any questions over something I covered I wasn't clear on? It's a big study. It's a huge study, but it's all in the book. That's why I put all these references for you. If you want to take pictures, you can. But we'll go through them next week. Any questions? Not one question. Okay. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, Lord God, we just thank you, Lord, for this time together. Thank you for your blessed book that you've given to us, Lord, and the truth. And I just thank you that you've showed me so many things in it, Lord. And I just thank you for giving me your Holy Spirit and saving me. And that I can discern these things and see them in your word. Father, I just pray for the services today. Pray for Brother Barry and our pastor, Lord, as you break the bread of life one more time. Pray for those that are listening today, maybe on the internet or in here. And I just pray that you'd edify your saints. And we just thank you. In Lord Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen. Amen.